Listener supported. WNYC Studios. Just too busy being fabulous. Too busy
to think about us. I don't know what you would. Alright, so maybe the Eagles weren't so fabulous in 07. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Look, everybody likes the good stuff. Well-made albums, skillfully crafted songs, exciting live performances. But why should quality get all the love? As we wrap up our Critics Week, we acknowledge that 2007 saw its share of awful or just grossly overrated music, and joining us with his look at the worst albums of 2007 is Jim DeRogatis, pop music critic of the Chicago Sun-Times. Jim, welcome back to Soundcheck.
It's always a pleasure, John.
So let's start with the Eagles, since we started with the Eagles.
Well, you know, it's all relative. Let me preface this by saying there's a tremendous amount of bad music that comes out every year, you know, and there's a tremendous amount of good music. Most of the stuff is right in the middle, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
But to me, to really work up a head of steam about a lousy album, it has to have been an album that a lot of people, including my critical brethren and sistren, somehow inexplicably liked. I mean, I don't understand the amount of good press this Eagles record got. It's been 28 years since they made a record, and they come out with this thing which is just absolutely dreadfully dull, ponderous, preachy, Don Henley, you know, in full on, we have to save the environment, we have to change the universe, you know, I'm perfect, you're not, you should live like me, neglecting to say how it figures into it that the Eagles only sold this piece of crap through Walmart. You know, and Henley's father was a small business owner in a small town in the Midwest who was driven out of business by Walmart.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just like the levels of hypocrisy were beyond belief. Plus, it was really, really boring.
So, I mean, back in the, you know, in the 70s, there was kind of a lot of creative tension among the Eagles. Is there none of that remaining 28 years later?
There's a lot of tension. They despise each other. There were a couple of articles written about pretty much, you know, they got together to make this album, and it reminded them why they hadn't done anything in three decades, because they all hate each other. You know, they made a lot of money from Walmart on this record, but there's not going to be a tour, and there's probably never going to be another Eagles album. They made that clear.
All right, well, but this one debuted at number one, and the fans loved it, but Jim DeRogatis did not. Sad, sad situation. Jim DeRogatis is walking us through some of the saddest of 07, his list of the worst recordings of the year, a sort of a fitting conclusion to our annual Critics Week on Soundcheck this week. Up next, a very different band, although also, Jim, you could call this a case of a reunion gone bad, and that is Iggy Pop and the Stooges.
Yeah, I tell you, I mean, this is one of the greatest bands in rock history. You know, their first three albums were absolutely perfect, and they, you know, pretty much laid the cornerstones of punk rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Raw Power, the first Stooges album, Funhouse, that's as good as rock and roll gets. You need those three albums. So to come back after three decades and call the band the Stooges again and try to pick up where they left off, and put out an album as bad as The Weirdness, it just breaks your heart. You know, and once again, a lot of critics were really, really kind to this record. I mean, I don't pay a lot of attention necessarily to what other critics say. I try to listen to a record, live with it for as long as I possibly can before I write my review, and not take in much of the backstory. And then after I've written a review, I go and I see what everybody else is saying. And often I wind up hitting myself in the head saying, they like this?
Yeah.
How would they like it? They like this because it was a good excuse to write about the Stooges, and you're glad to hear Iggy, you know, as he hits age 60-something with the original two members of the band, you know, play those great old songs again. But it isn't really the Stooges, and there's nothing on this record that has that groove that made those first couple of Stooges albums so incredibly influential. They don't groove anymore, and lyrics that used to be stupid in a good way, you know, no fun, my babe, no fun, are now stupid in a very, very bad way. Like that song Mexican Guy, where they're just, you know, Iggy's like upset because his girlfriend left him for a Mexican guy. I mean, it's not politically correct. It's offensive. It's not. I mean, look, I Want to Be Your Dog's not politically correct either, but
yeah.
It's un-PC in a very good way, as opposed to Mexican Guy, which is un-PC in a really stupid way.
So stuff that Iggy and the guys could have gotten away with when they were 21, 22, at age 60 is just not working for them the way it used to.
Well, they were better Stooges back in when they were 20 than they are now. I mean, maybe they know too much now, and they've lived too much, and I mean, you know, these guys aren't rocket scientists, but they can't really tap into that primal thing anymore.
Even though the album was produced by Steve Albini, well known for his work with Nirvana and many, many, many others, still something missing from this? Is it the songwriting at the end of the day?
Yeah, the songwriting at the end of the day. I mean, you know, Ron Ashton's guitar sounds like Ron Ashton's guitar, and Scott Ashton's drums sound like they did back in the day, although they're not grooving the way they did. Iggy sounds really good for a guy as old as him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in great shape, and he's still... You know, I mean, he arguably sounds as good as he did at age 20, but the songwriting's not there.
Hey, baby, consider me. I'm as lonely as I can be. I've read Gibbon and I've read Sod. I've played with rockers and I've played with mod. My mind is blown, nothing is true. The ones that gonna always say they do. Never the book. You can't tell me this is not a swap.
Iggy Pop and the Stooges. The Stooges record from 07 was called The Weirdness, and that song is called Trollin', and we're looking at some of the musical missteps of 2007 with Jim DeRogatis, music critic of the Chicago Sun-Times. Hype is often, it seems, Jim, one of the things that gets an artist onto your list, hype that is not lived up to, and there are a couple of examples. Let's talk first about the album by Björk.
Yeah, I love Björk. I mean, she's just a wiggy, crazy, eccentric visionary, you know. Sometimes she goes over the edge a little too much, you know, the famous swan dress. But for the most part, she's a really unique woman, a really unique artist. I did not like her new album. I thought it was, you know, she's been pushing the edge, trying to get more and more experimental electronically. And it doesn't work. There's this kind of, you know, overly artsy, pretentiousness to it of, like, you know, you go into an art gallery and, you know, somebody has splattered, you know, blood on the wall, and you're standing there thinking, why is this art? You know, and the whole thing is just joyless and not fun and not nearly up to her at her best.
But it's got a stellar group of guests. Timbaland, who's all over the place these days, on her record. Anthony Hegarty from Anthony and the Johnsons, the sort of hip world music band of the moment, Kanono Number One from the Congo. So what about the arrangements with all these different sounds? Doesn't the album at least sound good?
Yeah, well, I mean, unless you're a stereo salesman, you know, I mean, who cares if it sounds good if there's no good songs? You know, I mean, that's kind of like the a very, you know, critics can sit around and slice and dice how good the, you know, the overdubbed Chinese pipa, which is a form of lute, which Björk was very proud to have Power One song. I mean, you know, who cares if it doesn't have a hook you can remember?
All right, let's hear a little bit. The song is Hope from the album Volta, the 2007 release by Björk. Björk's 2007 release, Volta, was certainly full of unusual sounds. You can hear the West African lute harp known as the kora in, very much in the foreground of this song, which impressed Jim DeRogatis not at all, apparently.
Oh, really? Are you gonna run out and buy it because the kora sounds so good?
I kind of agree with you that it's not what's on the record, it's what's in the record, it's the songwriting. I happen to like this record a lot more than you did, but then I'm not alone. You, Jim, on the other hand, are very much alone, a lone voice in the wilderness with your list. At a time when other critics, if they're going to pan anybody, they're panning Britney Spears and Hilary Duff and, you know, J-Lo and Soulja Boy. So why are you picking on people who are trying to do something different?
Well, I think one of the dangers that the critics can overvalue is novelty, you know. And then there's also, it's something you haven't heard before. You haven't heard a kora on a record, and so you think, wow, this has got to be great. Well, maybe it's just different and new. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's great. And I'm not knocking innovation. I mean, that can be, but it can't be the be-all and end-all.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it just really annoys me when there's this kind of critical groupthink. I mean, you know, I firmly believe to the core of my being that we're all critics. Everybody's a critic. I don't want you to read me as some sort of consumer guide and only buy what I say to buy and only, you know, ignore stuff that I say to ignore. I mean, it's one person's take on this. But, you know, if we were to look at the reviews of some of these albums and put them all in the same typeface, cut them out of the New York Times and cut them out of Entertainment Weekly and, you know, 6 or 10 other newspapers and magazines, they all say the same thing. And it's like, buy this product. And there's no real discussion of the pros or cons of these records. It just, you know, everybody kind of gets excited and repeats the same critical common wisdom. And it's not unlike what we're seeing in the political campaign reporting
mm-hmm.
right now.
All right, yeah.
Puffy's on the rise.
All right, let's, talking about on the rise, Leslie Feist, simply Feist, had a big year in 07. Record was very well received. The song 1, 2, 3, 4, as we heard earlier, you know, used on that iPod ad. Feist's album, The Reminder, is on your list of the worst of 07. Why?
Because she has that really sleepy voice like that, which is completely put on.
This record drives me crazy. And the fact that I have to hear 1, 2, 3, 4 every 35 seconds as I'm channel flipping just drives me crazy. And, you know, look, Leslie Feist was a indie rock, underground, electro clash provocateur. You know, she was Peach's sidekick. And with Peaches, she was devoted to, you know, some of the most scatological, you know, sexually in-your-face, absolutely over-the-top, annoying type music. I mean, you know, their purpose when they went out on tour was to get in your face and make you hate them.
Mm-hmm.
Then she reinvents herself as, you know, the indie rock Dionne Warwick. And like, you know, or Sade, right? That's like, I've heard Sade, I've heard Dionne Warwick, and you, Leslie Feist, are no Dionne Warwick or Sade. You know, and she bragged about recording this album in her pajamas. And I really think maybe if she'd actually, you know, put some clothes on, it would have sounded a little more energetic and better. I don't know.
Here's a little bit from Feist and the record, The Reminder.
Such a lovable end to me. My coat, leave all the high note. There's nowhere to go but on. Heart on my sleeve, not where it should be. The songs out of key.
From the album The Reminder, hit record for Feist, a record that appears on Jim DeRogatis's year-end list of the worst of 07. Jim is the music critic at the Chicago Sun-Times, the pop music critic there, and my guest on Soundcheck occasionally when we need somebody to be cranky and ornery.
You know, why is this? You've got to come to Chicago. You're in the cynicism capital of the universe. Out here, you know, I grew up in Jersey City and Hoboken, right? And out here, I'm always getting these polite Midwesterners who are saying, you're so East Coast, you're so negative, you hate everything, right? And then New York has to come to me to give you some negativity.
What can I say, Jim? You've got it going on. That's now.
See, I like music. I want to make this clear.
I know you do.
I had a hard time coming up with a top 10 list. I have a top 50 list. Go to jimdero.com. You know, I actually like music. I don't hate everything.
All right, but But you do hate some things, and it's fun to talk about it, and there are plenty of other things we could talk about, but we gotta get moving here, and I wanna announce the results of our listener poll in a moment, and you know, in our best pop album of 07, the MIA record did not win, but it came a very close second. It is on your list of the worst of 07. Please explain.
Well, I tell you, this is already winning a lot of critics' polls, and I think it's destined to win the Idolater poll and probably the Village Voice poll. It's Maya Aprilagasm's second album. She's a Sri Lankan rapper born and raised in London. You know, this is an amazing-sounding record, and I gave it 3 out of 4 stars when I reviewed it for the Sun-Times. Amazing-sounding. The backing music, which is largely crafted by this Florida DJ named Diplo, is this extraordinary globe-hopping amalgam of you know, Bollywood orchestral pieces and Italian disco beats and a chorus of Aboriginal kids.
I'm ready to buy, Jim. Why is it on your list of the worst?
Because she can't sing and she can't rap and she has nothing to say. I mean, if we had put a great rapper, you know, a Common, let's say, or a, I don't know, somebody old school like Latifah, or virtually, you know, any of dozens of hip-hop voices, male or female, on top of this incredible backing music, it could have been a masterpiece for all time. But she has no passion in her voice. She has no real inflection or flow or any of those pretentious words that hip-hop critics throw around. I mean, to me, her voice kills what is a masterful album.
All right.
She has no energy live either. She just stands there.
All right. Well, we're going to hear just a little bit of the MIA record, Kala. It's on Jim's list of the worst of 07. It's on our Soundcheck listener poll of the best of 07. We'll give you the winners of our poll in just a moment, but Jim DeRogatis, pop music critic of the Chicago Sun-Times, always fun to talk to you, Jim. Happy holidays. Thanks for being with us.
Ho, ho, ho.
Hey, hey, baby girl, you and me need to go to your TP. The moon is full and I'm shining, baby, I know you see me.
All right, well, you've heard what Jim thinks. Now it's time to hear what you think. All this week's Soundcheck has presented an unscientific yet revealing online poll of the best albums of 07. We scanned 4 categories, pop, rock, classical, and world, and without further ado, the best album in the pop music category is...
Meet you downstairs in the bar and hurt your rolled up sleeves.
The troubled but enormously popular soul singer Amy Winehouse. She was our Soundcheck listener's pick for the best pop album of 2007 with her record Back to Black, a close race with MIA's record Kala. And looking in the classical music category, we had a runaway winner, Steve Reich's Music for 18 Musicians, performed by the Grand Valley State University New Music Ensemble, a student-slash-volunteer group from Allentown, Michigan, population 11,000, doing one of the landmark works of late 20th century music. In the rock category, we had another landslide winner, Radiohead's In Rainbows, which we heard earlier on the program, beating out Arcade Fire and Bruce Springsteen and others. And finally, in the world music category, it was the Latin alternative pioneer Manu Chao who took home the honors by a comfortable margin for his record La Radiolina, beating out Yusu Indor and Caetano Veloso and other heavy hitters. Thanks to everybody who voted in our listener poll. And in just a moment, we're going to take a look at a new record by Rochelle Garnier. She's actually going to perform some of it live in our studio.
Voy calle abajo, voy calle arriba, no me rebajo ni por la vida, me llaman calle y ese es mi orgullo.